Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You may be seated. One day, a group of expectant fathers was in a waiting room while their wives were in the process of delivering their long-expected babies. And a nurse came in to the waiting room and announced to the first man that his wife had just given birth to twins. "That's quite a coincidence," the man said. "I play for the Minnesota Twins." A few minutes later, another nurse came in and announced to the next man that he was the father of triplets. "That's amazing," he exclaimed. "I work for the 3M company." At that point, the third man sitting in the waiting room slipped off his chair and lay down on the floor. And somebody asked him if he was feeling okay, and he said, "No, I just took a job with 7-Eleven. Much of the appeal and the romance about the Christmas holiday revolves around children. There is the presence of that galloping philanthropist in a red suit and his 8 tiny reindeer reminding us that we must all believe in him, otherwise we will only get switches and coal for our Christmas surprises. And let's not forget the toy-buying bonanza that guarantees a successful holiday for the children who are the objects of our affection and devotion. But what is it that so intrigues us about the birth of a child? Now, this may be an easier question for the ladies here, for them to answer, than for the men here to answer, but I dare say that the men among us who have seen a newborn child or have had one thrust into our unwilling arms by the labor and delivery nurse standing there, find ourselves speechless. They are new, and yet they look like old men. They have been long expected, and yet they seem to have appeared out of thin air. They have a kind of purity about them. Every possibility seems open to them. In them we see our future. A child is in so many different ways a miracle, and so they captivate us. And yet, notwithstanding those particular children that we are thinking of at this moment, and in the face of the secular marketing blitz, there is another child born by another mother that were at one time the cause for our celebration this night. And what a poignant, touching scene the creche makes wherever we see it, whether in the public square or on our sideboards at home or on our mantelpieces. The gentle mother, the vigilant father, the humble shepherds, the docile animals. Such a peaceful and sleepy scene. A silent night, a holy night in the little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Just saying those words, just like that, brings that sentimental glow of Christmas back to our minds. Why can't every day be like Christmas? Or in the words of St. Peter, standing on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord Jesus, when he said, "Master, it is well that we are here. Let us make 3 booths. I don't ever want to leave this place." But better than 3 booths, why not burst out the walls of the stable so that we may all stand gazing for all eternity at Mary's newborn child? But we can't. And we must not be lulled into such a stupor just as the Christmas joy begins. We cannot and we must not. For the glory of the feast is that this is no ordinary child. No, the Son of Mary is the eternal Son of God. He who was just born has no beginning. He who cannot speak a word is the Word, who created everything with a word. Such a mystery cannot be held in the crib bound by swaddling clothes, but it must burst forth into its redeeming mission, For the Lord proclaims to the prophet Isaiah, "My word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and prosper in the thing for which I sent it." In his Confessions, St. Augustine wrote, "He who for us is life itself descended here and endured our death and slew it by the abundance of his life. In a thunderous voice, he called us to return to him at that secret place where he came forth to us. First, he came into the Virgin's womb where the human creation was married to him, so that mortal flesh should not forever be mortal. Coming forth from thence as a bridegroom from his marriage bed, he bounded like a giant to run his course. He did not delay, but ran crying out loud by his words, deeds, death, life, descent, and ascent." So, Augustine. We so often say that when a child is born, a new life has entered into the world. We marvel at God's providential care for us and the whole human race in this new life. But here, Augustine says, a new kind of life has entered into the world. Our natural life was broken and decayed by the fall of our first parents. Our natural life was subject to the power of death. But this new kind of life was not subject to death. It could not contain that life. The life overwhelmed the power of death. It burst through the burial clothes, out the door of the tomb, out into the dark and dying world. The life of this newborn babe was joined to our broken humanity in the womb of the Blessed Virgin, that we too might have life eternally. In his words, in his mighty acts, his parables and teachings, his driving out the demons from Israel, by his courageous suffering at the hands of his enemies, by his resurrection and ascension, he has now freed us from the clutches of our enemy, sin, death, and the eternal accuser. And so I ask you, what is so intriguing about this child, the son of Mary, the son of the everlasting Father? A newborn child has the appearance of purity, but it hides the stain of sin inherited from his father Adam. But Jesus, the newborn King, is the spotless, sinless Son of God, within whom there is no shadow of turning. A newborn child has the pretense of new life, but can only hope to live a few short years. For King David wrote in the Psalms, "The days of our life are 80 years, and though men be so strong that they come to 80 years, yet their strength is but labor and sorrow. So soon passeth it away, and we are gone." But the Christ child is the eternal Word, eternally begotten of the Father. He is the truest expression of who God is. God in His being cannot be known, cannot be seen, cannot be touched. But the Son, He is the express image of the Father. So John wrote in his Gospel, "No one has ever seen God. The Son who is at the Father's side, the only God, He has made Him known to us." And not only is He a person, the Son of the Father, but He is also the powerful Word of God to a world trapped in slavery to the powers of death. The Son, you see, is the promise of God, a word of love, a word of rescue to a world that is chained in death. Not only does He possess eternal life in Himself, but He gives that life to those who love Him. For Jesus said to them, His disciples, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. All that the Father give me will come to me, and him who comes to me I will in no wise cast out." So you see then, my friends, on this Christmas Eve, that we too must come to this child with a childlike faith. but not faith in a child. For the child of Mary did not remain a child, but to be dandled upon the knee for all eternity, as though we would keep him a child. But he has come to call as king all nations to love and serve him. Likewise, then, our faith must begin as a child's, but it cannot remain as a child's. Such faith is stunted faith. It is stillborn faith. It will not lead to life. It ends before it truly begins. And so, my friends, this Christmas Eve, do not be weak in your faith, but come to this child, now a king. Merry Christmas.